We thank the Lord for his presence in this place. Thank you, choir. Thank you, musicians, for blessing us. Thank you, Mother Smith, for letting us know that you can't see the Lord sometimes, but you can feel him in your bones. Amen. Good and good. Amen. Can't always see, but God is always there. That's a lesson my mother taught me when I was a child that I never forgot. When I wound up overseas or somewhere where I was anxious or afraid, I remember my mother telling me, wherever you are, God is there. Amen. Certainly thank God for these, my cleric colleagues, those on the rostrum as well as those in the pew, to all of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Grace and peace be unto you all from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God is good. Amen. Amen. Let us look to the Lord for a word of prayer. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we come now in the precious and the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, I come realizing that when I am empty, you're able to fill me. When I'm weak, you're able to give strength. When we are wounded, you're able to heal our wounds. When we are broken, you're able to fix what's broken. Now, Lord, in Jesus' name, somebody needs to hear from you. Somebody needs to be inspired and encouraged. So, Lord, hide me behind the cross. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Let it be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For Christ's sake, I do pray. Amen. 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 Brothers and sisters, in the interest of time, I want to invite you to that passage of Scripture that was read earlier from 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. And I just want to read verse number 9. Those of you who have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians. And you ought to always have your Bible when you go to church. That's like going to school without your lesson books. According to the NIV, you'll find these words. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. The word of God for the people of God. For just a few minutes, I want to talk from the subject, you haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything yet. Thank you, ushers. The church at Corinth that Paul sent this letter to had its share of special problems which plagued it and kept it from becoming all that God intended it to be to the Corinthian community. There were divisions and factions among the membership. There was immorality in the city and in the community, which had somehow made its way into this church and the families within the church. And the news that Paul was receiving from this first century sin city was not good. It seemed like a place where people took one step forward and two steps back when it came to their actions and their attitudes. And so Paul writes to them to give them some dutiful directions, some Christian focus, some godly guidelines, and some plain spiritual purpose. Paul could have appealed to them on many levels that they were familiar with, in tune with, and agreeable to. But instead, he focuses the attention on God and bases his claim on what God did in their midst when he was with them. He did not offer legal or philosophical or intellectual social ideals to press his claim. He merely appeals to the power of God that was on display during his stay at Corinth. If he knew anything or hoped to know anything among them, it was only Jesus Christ and him crucified. In body or in physical appearance, Paul was weak. But in spirit, he was strong. In human knowledge, he had some limitations. But in godly wisdom, he abounded. If you looked at him, he was unimpressive and diminutive in stature. But to the spiritual eye, he was a giant. He had not come to them like many of that day, trying to impress them with his words, his oratorical skills, or his learning. But instead, he chose to let the power of the Holy Spirit speak for him. He did not appeal to his learning, quote Greek, or lay out the Hebrew law. But he always pointed them toward the one who has all power and in whom we live, move, and have our being. They did not need to hear philosophical arguments because this was a church at odds among its members and in the midst of a congregational mess. So Paul appeals to an Old Testament text to bring spiritual clarity to the situation at hand. Do I have a witness in here? My brothers and sisters, for the most part, generally we are governed by earthly parameters, earthly limitations, earthly conceptions, earthly ideas, and earthly paradigms or models. And humankind has achieved a great deal since it was created and placed here on earth by God. But no matter what humankind has achieved or done, it falls way short of what God has created, has done, can and will do for his children that trust him. If we wait on the Lord, God always exceeds our expectations. No matter what we can conceive, God will go beyond our wildest imagination, especially if we are dependent on God. David knew this and wrote, "Never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Anything you can conceive in your mind about what God can or will do will always fall short of God's divine possibilities. Do I have a witness in here? The Corinthian church was in trouble, but Paul says they hadn't seen anything yet. They had their share of problems, but he said, "You haven't seen anything yet." Some of them did not get along, but he said, "You haven't seen anything yet." They were divided into cliques, factions, families, and groups. But he said, "You haven't seen anything yet." In fact, he reaches back and borrows from the prophet Isaiah, who wrote, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither have seen by the eye, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. He agrees with the prophet Isaiah and echoes his sentiment. He agrees with this Old Testament sage because Isaiah was ahead of his time. He knew God was greater and grander than anything man had ever seen or ever heard. So he wrote, God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so are God's ways than our ways, and his thoughts than our thoughts. He knew that the God that he saw in the temple was high and lifted up, and everyone was under his power and under his command. He knew the God he saw in the temple was full of more glory than he had ever seen or heard about. So no matter what he or we can imagine, it always falls short of God's plans, God's purpose, and God's will for his children. Or as Isaiah wrote, those that wait on the Lord. Ain't that good news? If you have lived for any amount of time, my sisters and brothers, no doubt you have seen many things that you consider amazing or great or even significant. But none of us have lived long enough to even begin imagining what God can and is planning to do in the life of his church, his community, and his people. God's revelation can be both verbal and spiritual. Is that right? And it always falls out of the natural realm of human understanding. It cannot be understood or perceived without divine disclosure. In other words, we cannot see or even understand unless God chooses to reveal it to us. I had one scholar say, man can't reveal what God conceals. Am I right about it? There are people who look back lovingly, hopefully, and wishfully at what is perceived as the glory days of their families, their communities, and their churches. They reminisce about how things were, how people were, what they did, and perhaps the pride they collectively shared through their particular community of faith. But I'm here to tell you, no matter how great it may have seemed, the truth is, until God reveals his future plans through those who love him, they hadn't seen anything yet. They once may have seen churches filled to capacity, a rocking choir, soulful singing, and fervent praying. But until God gets done with his work, you haven't seen anything yet. Am I right about it? And you haven't seen anything yet because God is able to do more work in the realm of the Spirit and through his power than we can even imagine. My brothers and sisters, we are usually fixated on the physical, but God transcends the physical. We are limited to the natural world, but God created and controls all nature. That is why David wrote, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Some of you haven't seen it because you just don't believe that God can do any more than what you see. Am I right about it? If you're walking by what you see, and some people are, they'll never see it. Some don't see it because God is still working it out. God is still crafting the situation. God is still working out his divine plan for the church, for his people, for your family, for your job, or for your community. He's not done yet. Am I right about it? And if God is not done yet, I can safely say you haven't seen anything yet. But when God gets done, those who look at life from the natural will not believe what God has done through the spiritual. When God gets done, those who are stuck in the confines of earthly thinking, they won't be able to accept what God has done outside of human understanding. When God gets done, people near and far will know what was done, and that it was the handiwork of God all by himself. When God gets through with something, people will be saying, it's hard to believe that that's the same person, that's the same community, that's the same family, or that's the same church. When God gets through, people will agree with that old song, sung by a many a choir. He has done great things. Do I have a witness in here? Brothers and sisters, I stopped by here to tell you, you haven't seen anything yet. Because when God gets done, even those who love him, follow him, wait on him, and serve him, will look in amazement at what the Lord had done. Because Isaiah was right, and so was Paul. I have not seen, ear have not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of men, the thing that God had prepared for those who love him. Ain't God all right? It might be difficult right now. It might look dismal right now. It might look gloomy right now. But just leave it to God, because he's able. The storms of life might be raging right now. The winds of life may be blowing right now. And you may not be filled with what you can see. But just wait on God, because he's able. If anybody knows dark days, tough times, rocky roads, it's black folk. If anybody seen the lightning flashing, heard the thunder roll, it's black folk. If anybody knows trials and tribulations and troubles, it's black folk. But I'm glad we also know a God who is able to make a way out of no way. We also know a God who is a bridge over troubled waters. We also know a God who is a shelter in the time of a storm. And we also know a God who the world has said works in mysterious ways. He's one or two before. Ain't the Lord all right? But pastor, how is it going to happen? I don't know. But God is working out the details. When will it come to pass? I don't know. But God is working out the details. So if you love the Lord, you haven't seen anything yet as it relates to your family. If you love the Lord, you haven't seen anything yet as it relates to your life. If you love the Lord, you haven't seen anything yet. Thank you, Lord. I have not seen, ear have not heard, nor has entered in to the heart of men the thing that God has prepared for those. But Donald Lawrence has something to say. I believe he will tell us, hold on, my brother. Don't give up.
hold on, my sister. Just look up. There's a master plan in store for you. If you just make it through, God's gonna blow your mind. He's gonna make it worth your time. For all the trouble you've been through, the blessing shall be double just for you. So my sisters and brothers, love the Lord. You haven't seen anything yet. If you're waiting on the Lord, you haven't seen anything yet. If you work together, you haven't seen anything yet. If you love one another, you haven't seen anything yet. If you learn to follow, you haven't seen anything yet. If you learn how to listen, you haven't seen anything yet. It might look bad right now. It might be painful right now. It might be a mess right now. You might not have answers right now. You might not see a way right now. But I'm here to tell you, God is able. He's able. He's able. He's able. He's able. Thank you, Lord. I've held you too long. But I'm reminded of a story. Some years ago, I'm told there was an old man who had one son and one horse. One day the horse broke out of the corral and fled into the hills. His neighbor came by and said, "What bad luck?" The old man asked, "What do you mean by that? How can you tell it's bad luck?" The neighbor said nothing. Sure enough, the next morning, the horse came back to the familiar corral for his usual feeding and watering, leading 12 wild horses with him. The farmer's son saw the horses in the corral, slipped out the side door, and locked the gate. And overnight, the farmer and his son had 13 horses instead of one. The neighbor heard the good news and rushed to the farmer and said, 13 horses, what good luck. But the old farmer answered, "How do you know it's good luck?" A few days later, his only son was trying to ride one of the wild horses, only to be thrown off and break his leg. The neighbor came back that night, passed another hasty judgment. "Your son broke his leg? What bad luck." The wise farmer answered again, "How do you know it's bad luck?" But still no answer from the neighbor. Sure enough, a few days later, a military general and his unit came through the town, drafting every able-bodied young man, taking them off to war. And most of those young men would never make it back to their town from the war. But the young man was saved because of his broken leg. That's what I want to leave you with. Our elders knew something about God. And that's why you would hear them sing every now and then. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. My sisters and brothers, you haven't seen anything yet. Because God is a great God and greatly to be praised. Sisters and brothers, I may not know how big God is or how God does what God does, but I do know that God is big enough to do whatever needs to be done. Am I right about it? If God was big enough to light the flame of the sun, set the earth on its axis, sprinkle the night sky with stars, too numerous to count, carve out mountains and valleys, God is big enough to take care of us. Do I have a witness here? He's big enough to lift us when we're down, to strengthen us when we're weak, to protect us from danger, to heal us when we're sick, to bless us when we're burdened, and to help us when we're helpless. So you haven't seen anything yet, because God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask or think. You haven't seen anything yet, because God is not done with your life or my life. You haven't seen anything yet, because God is not done with this church, with this nation, or with this world. You haven't seen anything yet, because the hill rider was right. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of meadows prevailing. Then we and I, on strength confined, our striving will be losing. We're not the right one on our side, the one of God's own choosing. And though this world with devil's fear should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God have will. His truth that triumph through us. You may not see it now, but that's because God is not done. When God gets done, justice will roll out like a water. Righteousness, like a mighty stream. When God gets done, people around the world will do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with their God. Our God is a mighty God. Our God is a powerful God. Our God is able. Our God, He's able to work it out. I come by here to tell you, our God say, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Our God is a loving God. Our God is a merciful God. Our God is a gracious God. Our God is able to work it out. He can work it out. Won't he work it out? Won't he work it out? Won't he pick you up? Won't he turn you around? Won't he plant your feet on solid ground? Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. He's able. He's able. He's able. But I stop by here to tell you, if you see me and I'm not doing right, please be patient with me. God, 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 not through with me yet. When he gets through, when he gets through, when he gets through, I shall come forth like gold. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So hold on. Hold on. Keep waiting. Keep trusting. Keep believing. Keep loving. When God gets done, darkness will turn to light. Troubles will turn to joy. When God gets through, hey!
You haven't seen anything yet. If you trust him, if you love him, if you wait on him, you haven't seen anything yet. The doors of the church are open.